Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper, and I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
All right, everybody. It's Tuesday night, and we're here for Patriot Families Chat. Normally, we have our host, Mr. Bill Strong, but Bill is MIA, so we're hoping that everything is going okay for him and he's not running into any kind of problems with the family or anything, but hopefully we'll see him shortly, and if not, well, we'll just try to fill in the best we can. And I guess one of the topics that I would start with, since I'm running the show for the moment, is what's going on in the European Union, the EU, the Euro. And it's been kind of crazy. As you know, we've been talking about the monetary system for some time. And, of course, the European Union, the Euro, has been at the top of my list for some time because I think it directly impacts our market, our economy, in one respect because the euro zone accounts for about 17% of our gross domestic product in exports. We export to the European Union. But aside from the obvious, there's also the psychological effect that it will have on people. And that also is going to impact how people respond and react. You know, there's not a lot of faith in government of late. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. But, yeah, I hear you, Linda. I should get some compensation. We'd have to 1099 me here. But, you know, around the world, people are losing confidence in their governments. We saw the whole Arab Spring thing going on. And however much that may have been contrived or orchestrated, there's still a lot of unrest and uncertainty out there in the world. And when we see something like the European Union falling apart monetarily, and they're operating on a very, very similar monetary system as the one that we have, it bothers people's conscience. It worries them. And people begin to worry about the stability of their money. And when we take into account, you know, what's gone on in 07 and 08 and 09 and all the way up to this year with the housing market and the bubbles in the stock market and the bailouts and GM and Chrysler, and just when you take everything in as a whole, and I know for my part, our customers aren't spending money with frivolity. They're very tight with their money right now. People are just unsure. And I see a lot more people paying cash and not using credit cards. And again, that comes from the uncertainty. Certainly the gravy train hasn't stopped, but we hear the brakes squeaking. Okay? And so I wanted to read an article right quick on the globalist plan, European Union police state lockdown, and this is off of prisonplanet.com. And, you know, I've had other people kind of give me a hard time for using a lot of articles off of Prison Planet, but Prison Planet, for the most part, whether you realize it or not, is much like Drudge or Breitbart or any of the others. They use articles from the Associated Press, Reuters, and other news agencies. This one happens to be from the Associated Press. And Oliver Bailey said Tuesday that legally, limits could be imposed on movements of people and money across national borders within the EU if it is necessary to protect public order or public security, but not on economic grounds. Well, now we know that's a bunch of crap. If they want to shut down the borders and keep people from moving here and fro, and if they want to shut down the banks and access to your money, they will. They can, and they will. And, you know, on the two previous shows I had done, Sunday and Monday, I talked a lot about Abraham Lincoln and his administration and the impact it's had on our country, us as a nation or as a society. And I really despise using that word nation because I know what it entails, what it encompasses, what it hints at. And we were created out of a collection of free and independent states. And if anyone doubts that, they can go read the Declaration of Independence. It wasn't a collective union that was declaring its independence from Great Britain. It was each individual colony acting on its own. They didn't go out and declare their separation from England as a whole. They did it individually, and then collectively they presented their case to the crown. And I suspect that had some of the states or colonies not wanted to join in, the others would have went ahead with their plans anyway, as well they should have. This goes on to say, this article, and sorry I digress, some people are working on scenarios, but he refused to identify individuals or organizations. EU finance bosses have discussed controlling ATM withdrawals, subjecting the citizens to member states to rigorous border checks, and imposing capital controls as a worst-case scenario should Athens decide to leave the euro. Basically, they're talking about shutting down your access to money and the state determining who can and can't access their bank accounts, especially if Greece leaves the euro. You know, all those people who have euros on deposit in their bank might just be left high and dry with no money left in their bank. And I can certainly see that as a plausible punishment in the eyes of the European Union to punish those in Greece. And we're going to bring up Miss Linda Sills. How are you doing, Linda?
Fine, sir. How are you doing? And thanks for doing the show. I didn't know what else to do but call you. So
no problem.
I couldn't find anybody.
I don't find at all. I hadn't really planned on it, so I didn't have anything planned to talk about. But then I never do, so I just kind of fly
do,
off
yeah.
the seat of my pants.
Yeah. Well, I was reading a lot of stuff today about it was the treaties and the UN and the loss and the and the gun
right.
bans and all these things. And then it was going through, it was actually one of the ones from Tea Party Nation, but whoever wrote it did a good job. They talked about the Federalist Papers. They talked about unconstitutional laws being automatically null and void. So, I mean, why can't we fight these people? I don't understand. I don't understand why the UN is still, why we're still a part of this mess.
Well, we, you know, for whatever reason, I'm guilty as charged. Whatever reason, we continue to pretend that the Constitution actually matters. And it certainly, our government has demonstrated time and again
yep.
that it acts as no restriction to them whatsoever. It's
a farce. Yeah, it's horrible what they've done. It's just, and now we're fighting in the middle of this cesspool and we don't know how to get out of it, you know. Unless and then it might even give them more power if everything collapses. Then they'll go, well, we're scrambling to, you know, stave off the UN. they'll implement everything they've wanted. I mean, it's horrible.
Well, it is. And you know, this is why, and the more I think about the matter I get, you know, and I had known, like I said, I knew for a long time that Lincoln was an SOB. And I knew that he'd violated several things in the Constitution.
Right.
And he said, you know, in order to save the Constitution, I had to go outside of it. Well, horse crap. You know, in order to save something, I had to destroy it. Really? How does that work? And we know how it works. And the more, you know, just reading this book was enough that it really has pushed me kind of over the edge with the whole Lincoln thing, as I'm sure everyone is well aware by now, because I've been rambling on about it for 2 or 3 days. But it pisses me off, because now, knowing some of the Supreme Court decisions, 1894, the Pollock versus Union Pacific,
mm-hmm.
or no, not Pollock versus Union Pacific, holy cow, I'm mixing two cases.
Okay.
The Union Pacific Railroad was Brushaber versus Union Pacific, and that was 1916. I apologize. The Pollock case was a guy who owned some property, and he was renting it out.
Okay.
And at the time, Congress had passed a new income tax law. Most people don't know that. Lincoln passed the first income tax in 1861. It was repealed in 1872. They passed a whole series of tax acts while Lincoln was in office. After the repeal of the Income Tax Act, sometime in 1893, I believe it was, they reinstituted an Income Tax Act. And what they had done is the definition of income is what was at risk here. And by the time the case was heard,
mm-hmm.
I believe it was 1904, and Congress had also passed a Corporate Income Tax Act. And if you've ever heard of Peter Schiff,
Yes.
He's been on Fox News and all of those. Well, his father is a guy named Irwin Schiff. And Irwin Schiff is currently doing his heels in federal prison for about the fourth or fifth time. Irwin has been a staunch anti-tax advocate for decades, the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in prison several times for it, for tax evasion. And I've got a couple of his books, and one of the things he pointed out in the Pollock case, here's this guy, he's renting his property. And the rent he receives, the government said, well, that is income. And he said, no, because it's wholly derived from my property. And if you're going to tax the rent that I receive from my property, that is no different than a direct property tax.
Right.
And the court said, you know what? We agree. So they had to scrap the whole income tax law. And later in 1909, I believe it was, it wasn't long after, the Congress shuffled around and they got together and they whipped up the 16th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And the 16th Amendment, they say, doesn't change the taxing authority of the Congress one stitch. It's simply, and it's the one unique, I guess, amendment to the Constitution, because it really didn't amend anything. According to the government, it was a clarification of what was the object of the tax. And it gets kind of confusing. It's called income tax, just like Social Security is called Social Security insurance, when in fact it's a tax. The income tax, oddly enough, doesn't tax income.
I see.
It taxes some event, and they don't know what that event is. However, the way that they measure or calculate the amount of tax owed is measured by the amount of income produced. So the income itself is not what's being taxed. So therefore, it doesn't matter from whence the income came, because they're not taxing the source of the income. And they're not taxing the income itself. They're taxing some mysterious transaction that took place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I'm dead serious. This is the convoluted reasoning behind it. That's why the government claims, part of the government anyway, is that the income tax is an indirect or excise tax. Now, all other excise taxes are easily recognizable and also easily avoided. If you don't want to pay the excise tax on gasoline, don't drive a car or brew your own diesel fuel or make your own gasoline.
Right.
Pretty simple. If you don't want to pay the tobacco tax, grow your own tobacco, although they'll put you in jail for that. But don't smoke, don't use tobacco products. It's real simple. It's a choice. You choose to use tobacco. You choose to drink alcohol. You choose to use petroleum products. You could ride a bicycle. Those are all avoidable taxes. So in the fact that they are avoidable, it's not a direct tax. The tax is not laid directly on the individual. It's actually laid on the transaction, the sale of the product. However, if we look at the income tax and we apply it to wages, a wage earner, then what they have to say is that they're levying the tax directly on the sale of labor. Okay, that's all good and fine. But then there must be a cost associated with my ability to labor. You know, I have to eat, I have to drink, I have to sleep, I have to rest, there's all these things affect or impact my ability to labor. the government's reasoning is, yeah, but you got to do all those things anyway.
Oh my God! Wow.
So their argument is that it's the perfect tax because it's an unavoidable excise tax.
Wasn't that special? It is,
and it's a tax in which you cannot claim any cost basis, so there's no write-off. Now, Congress did in the 1920s put a clause in the tax code. I believe it's Title 26, Section 1019, and it lays out how to calculate the cost basis in property that was acquired by gift.
Wow.
And I started smiling because I'm looking at a dollar bill, and on the back of that dollar bill, it clearly says, "In God we trust." And I said, well, you know, that's great because I really feel that way. I trust in God, and in fact, I believe that my life is a gift from God. And therefore, my ability to labor is also a gift from God. And here the government has given me a way to calculate my cost basis in property acquired by gift. Well, just dang Skippy. And it's funny because the section says that the secretary or his designate is supposed to contact the person who donated the property or the gift, the donor, to determine the cost to the donor. And if he's unable to do so, then he has to rely on the fair market value of the gift at the time of exchange. Well, it's the gift that keeps on giving. That means that you have a zero-sum transaction when it's wage labor. Because if my cost basis in the gift is the fair market value, that means it's whatever I get for my gift that I'm selling, that's the fair market value. And I get to write off the cost basis, which is equal to the fair market value. So it's a zero-sum game. But they don't like that argument either.
I'm sure not. Well, so what is the – I mean, we've talked about it before, but how do we get back to what I would consider the original argument? I mean, of the founding and what the
– I'm of the opinion or beginning to lean towards the opinion that we need to start recruiting military pilots and tank commanders.
Oh, yes. We love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Oh, Lord.
I know. I think that was mentioned on when Bob Chapman, when Michael did the rebroadcast, and he said it may come down to a pretty bad revolution because people aren't going to take this anymore. You know,
well, we need to secede from our government.
I know.
I never thought of it that way until I read this book, but the guy is actually absolutely right. And, you know, Oz was on the other night, and I gave him a link to Justice Story's commentaries on the Constitution. And there was this age-old argument, or it would appear there was. These people were intellectually dishonest. My God, you can't be that obtuse. Maybe they just didn't see it. Maybe they were like me and they just didn't see it. But there was a discussion for decades, and it's still going on, whether or not states have the right to secede from the Union. Well, as the author pointed out, you know, aside from the fact that it was the states that created the Union and they can break away from that anytime they want, he said, let's not forget that they were all in secession from England. They all seceded.
Yes. Yes.
From England. And
absolutely.
I'm like, wow, you know, I never really thought of it in those terms.
Yeah, because they were sick of the tyranny. They just weren't going to play that game anymore. Yeah.
Yep. And you know what? I think we've talked about it before on the idea of, you know, marching on D.C. and all of that. it's been said many times, it needs to be at the local level.
Right.
It does.
Every
state, every patriot group in every state needs to get together in their respective states, and they need to lambaste their state legislators to either get their act together or pull our people out of Washington, D.C. Do not send a representative up there, not one more. We're not paying for it. Screw it. We're done.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
it's because you're going to get nowhere in D.C.
Oh, no. It's so corrupt. I have never seen anything like it. Well, that's why when you read all the stuff from all the different sites where they're talking about the secret cities and all that stuff and the Illuminati, talk about the Vatican City and the City of London and Washington, D.C., I mean, how much more corrupt can you get? I'd like to know, because if that's not the Tower of Babel right now, I don't know what is.
Well, you think about it. If you could get a majority of states, and I don't know the exact number, I'd have to go look, but if you could get enough states to withhold congressmen and their senators, they wouldn't be able to have a quorum to do business. They'd be SOL.
Yep, absolutely.
And
I
get so pissed when I hear the talking heads on TV and they clamor about gridlock in D.C. It was designed that way, guys. It's supposed to be freaking gridlock. You know why it's gridlock?
Yep.
Because it's a bad deal. Whatever the bill is that they're talking about, it's a bad deal.
Right.
It's supposed to be gridlock.
Exactly. Well, the whole, when we talked, in fact, yesterday, when you said the binding of, you know, the chains of the Constitution and everything that was written, especially, I mean, just in the First Amendment alone, is saying Congress shall make no law. They're binding every single thing, especially with the UN treaties and foreign entities. It's a binding. It was designed that way. And you're absolutely correct. And that's what people, they lose sight of, and these idiots on TV. I have to turn them off. I can't take them anymore.
I don't even watch television. I really don't.
It's not even comical anymore. I mean, except for the sound bites from Axelrod and, oh, my God, some of the other ones.
I used to enjoy watching the History Channel, but all they have on there is these damn reality shows. There's nothing about history on there.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's a scam.
It's a wasteland. We're paying a fortune for this stupid black box in the living room, and it's like, oh my God. And and when you talk about local, I think that's very correct. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin here, because we've got, I mean, Sacramento is second only to D.C. as far as ridiculousness. We have the Ninth Circuit Court here in California. I mean, it's a mess. I don't even know how to penetrate that mess, other than to do what you say. That's why I have to go to my each little town one by one,
we've got to start
with a constitutional sheriff. I'm gonna tell them. I wish I could grab Sheriff Mack and John Lopi and bring them down here and tell you guys what for, because this is not going to stand anymore. That's what I feel like doing.
That's just, we need to start social networking within our state.
Right.
And get all the like-minded groups from other counties linked up so that we can present a united front. I saw it firsthand, even in my little county of Cherokee County,
sure.
The Good Boy Network is so deeply entrenched.
Mm-hmm.
That you get nowhere, and that is one reason that I think the Ron Paul revolution is absolutely instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
Because all those delegates, all those people that they brought together in all those states, they will be in a position to do just mm-hmm. that.
Wow.
They will
absolutely
be in a position to do that, because you see, whoever the chairman is and the board members, they're the ones that set the direction, the tone of the meetings. And and the whoever is in majority is who sets the platform, the party platform for that year, the next 2 years. They make the rules.
God.
They make all the rules, and they set the agenda. And see, this is where it's been a problem for so long. And all the elections that go on, nobody's really bothered to get into the delegate process at the
right.
local level and literally infiltrate
mm-hmm.
the local parties. Ron Paul did that. I mean, we started it in 08, you know, 07
sure.
actually. And he just, even though he didn't win in 08, he built a lot of momentum.
Well, you know, you are well aware. what we're seeing with our meetings with the city council and what they call these workshops, or they're called community vision meetings, these are absolutely Delphi'd from the beginning. They've got stakeholders coming in there. They have a predetermined outcome. They do not want your input. They
yeah.
just say that they do. You know, this is what we have found out. And so we're going to come loaded for bear on the 19th. I mean, I showed you my Glenn Beck chalkboard. I'm almost done with it. I have one more piece of the puzzle, and I'm going to get the big UN Agenda 21 death map up there, and I'm going to say, is this what you want to live under? Because I sure as heck don't. Yeah, I've went through a whole timeline of where this started, what happened in 93 and 94 on the House floor with Nancy Pelosi, and I have proof. Just go to YouTube if they haven't scrubbed it. She's on there, you know, trying to push this through. They couldn't get it passed. They got ICLEI going, which is a foreign entity, and I laid it out in my speech last time. I said, you guys are guilty of dealing with a foreign entity, and you're completely out of your realm of constitutional authority, and you're going to be held accountable. I was so mad.
Well, they don't have any constitutional authority, and we're not operating under the Constitution. So, I mean, you know, and they know that.
I know. So, that's the problem, and this is what But the thing is, the more people of the general public that I can wake up to these facts, maybe that will have an impact to where I can gather some steam, I hope. I mean, that's what my my quest is to do.
Through the amendment process,
right.
they managed to demolish or destroy all the vestiges of the Constitution with one single amendment, actually two single amendments, the 13th and the 14th Amendment.
Wow.
The 13th Amendment makes illegal involuntary servitude.
Right. Doesn't say voluntary, though, does it?
You've got that right, ma'am. And
unbelievable.
When this is why I'm telling you, when I got studying tax laws, and I started looking in there. There are things in the law that people just do not understand what they're doing.
Right.
One of them is called making an election. And everyone who's got a job out there, unless they are, and I hate to even use this term, self-employed, because that's an oxymoron, quite honestly. I mean, when you think about it, everyone is self-employed.
Right.
Even if you're working for someone, you're still working for yourself.
Right.
Nonetheless, if you've filled out a Form W-4, you have made an election, whether you know
right.
it or not. And you have elected to be treated as a government employee. It's just really that simple.
Okay.
And by making that election, you're claiming certain exemptions. 1, 2, 0, even if you're claiming 0, you're still making an election. You're choosing. And if you read a W-4 and what it says,
mm-hmm.
it says exactly what it is, withholding allowance certificate. You're certifying that you're willing to allow your employer to withhold money from your paycheck. Otherwise, it would be illegal for them to do so.
Wow.
And the employer is under contract with the government to send in quarterly reports and taxes.
Right.
And when they do, the government looks at your W-4 and your information. They go, oh, well, we've got a beneficiary here. This individual is entitled to benefits under a government program. We've got to get them signed up in the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment, workers'
yep.
compensation. Those are all government benefits. You're participating in a government benefits program, and in order to be entitled to those benefits, you have to pay your union dues. See, that's the union that Lincoln wanted to preserve.
Oh, my God. You're right.
And,
you called him an SOB.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. And the 14th Amendment, what they did was they took, and there's been a lot of legal arguments over this, but they created a new class of citizenship. And the citizenship they created was federal citizen.
Oh, my God.
Now, Rod, Luke, and I had this conversation a while back, and I know you've probably got your pocket constitution handy. So
Not right this second, but go grab it.
Yeah, go grab your pocket constitution. I want you to find the 14th Amendment, and we'll read through some things here.
Hold on a second. I'm going to get feedback. I'm just grab it. Oh, I got a million of them under here. Okay. Am I still on?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because I never know when I'm going to lose signal. All right. Let me grab my... So, all right. And then let's see. Okay. All right. I got 10. And... Okay, got 14th.
Okay. Now that you've got the 14th, I want you to put your finger on that page and then flip back to the very first page, Article 1.
Article 1?
Okay. Yep.
God, my... Okay.
All right, so if you hit Section 2, the second paragraph, it starts, "No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained the age of 25 years and been 7 years a what?"
Citizen. Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay, now, notice that citizen is in the middle of the sentence, and yet it's capitalized.
Yep.
Now, this may seem a very small thing. Now, flip back to that 14th Amendment.
Okay. All right.
And it says, all persons born, notice it doesn't say all citizens, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are?
Citizen small.
A little C, citizen. Now, in contract law, that's something that's called conspicuous, meaning it's different. It stands out. And when something is conspicuous and it stands out, that should give you notice. And it does.
Wow.
Now, I will challenge you. We found one on the very first page, citizen with a capital C. In your spare time, flip through the rest of your Constitution and see if you can find anywhere before the 14th Amendment where citizen has a little C, because you're going to find out that it isn't in there.
Wow.
Every time citizen is mentioned, it's capitalized.
Okay, and why would that be?
Well, it told you why. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Okay, what is the United States?
The Union?
Well, sure, that's one way to put it, the government. The United States is Congress. And the jurisdiction of Congress is clearly spelled out as a 10-mile square area.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you were born within the district or in a territory or possession of the United States, then you are subject to Congress in assembly. If you were born in Rhode Island, you're not subject to Congress. They have no jurisdiction within Rhode Island, except for what was ceded to the government in the Constitution.
Ah. Unbelievable.
So, the Supreme Court has ruled, and I don't have the cases off the top of my head, but on more than one occasion because I've read it. First and foremost, that there are three United States that exist, or the United States exists in three distinct ways. Okay, one is geographically,
right,
landmass known as the United States. One is Congress in assembly,
mm-hmm.
and then the other is a corporation.
Yikes.
Now, they also ruled that that little clause in the 14th Amendment, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, that does not mean subject to concurrent jurisdiction. In other words, subject to jurisdiction of the Congress, but also of a state.
Ah.
It means the exclusive jurisdiction of Congress.
Hmm.
So what the stated purpose of the 14th Amendment was at the time was to grant citizenship to freed slaves. That was the story. Because you had all these freed slaves with nowhere to call home, and they couldn't get any rights in any state.
Right.
Because no states would grant them rights. So the government passes, allegedly, the 14th Amendment, even though that was a scam. Mm-hmm. I can go into that later. So effectively what they did was they made everyone within the geographical United States citizens of the United States, and therefore subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of Congress.
The rats.
I.e. federal citizens. And it's interesting because one of the very next things they did was pass the Civil Rights Act.
Wow.
Now, civil rights are distinct. They're not constitutional rights. Civil rights are rights that come from civil government.
Right.
And what was the other amendment that I'm trying to make? It was an early one because it was Chisholm v. Georgia was the one that it was the 11th. It was the 11th Amendment they passed. And this was done in, I want to say 1798. The judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the United States by citizens, capital C, of another state, or by citizens, capital C, or subjects of any foreign state. Go ahead.
Okay, that one was ratified the 11th on February 1795.
95. I knew it was very early on. And that was because of a case, Chisholm v. Georgia. And that was, I believe, a guy from Alabama who was suing the state of Georgia, and the Supreme Court took jurisdiction of the case, and it pissed off the state of Georgia. And they said, oh, no, you don't, you SOB. Here is the other one that I was looking for, which is Article 4, Section 2.
Okay, let's see.
When we start talking about civil rights, okay, the citizens, capital C, of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. So in other words, if Georgia says that I can carry two six shooters fully loaded and I go into Alabama, they cannot arrest me for exercising a right that I enjoy in the state of Georgia, in Alabama. Okay? That's not a civil right. It is and it isn't. It's a right of, you know, no trespass. I guess it's almost like a compact agreement between the states. So a civil right comes from government. And that means that government can take away those civil rights. So everything from this, the 13th Amendment, forward towards the front of the book, you can just tear it out and throw it in the trash because it's not applicable.
Good grief. Well, Lucian, dang. I don't know what else to...
So we have volunteered to put ourselves into bondage. And, Bill, I'm sorry I didn't see you on there, sir. Welcome aboard.
That's okay, Ron. Just go ahead. I'm enjoying it.
So we have voluntarily put ourselves into servitude to a federal government through contract.
Oh, geez.
And so too have the states.
Oh yeah.
That was the whole plan. That's why Lincoln. That's why Hamilton. That's why they wanted this mercantilist system. Because they knew they could promise kickback money to the states, federal funding, with all the strings attached.
Sure.
And so they could essentially, they would have the power to buy the states, which is what they've done.
Yeah, it's, you're right about the corporation. It's just, but it's easy.
Sure it is.
Oh, God.
And it's just been getting bigger ever since.
Oh, yeah. And that's what Jefferson warned about.
Absolutely.
I mean, when Jefferson said, look, if a nation ever gives over the power to print its money to a private bank, and you know the rest.
That's what we did. Oh, my gosh.
The corporations and the government that will grow up around that bank will eat out their very substance, and their children will wake up slaves on the land that their forefathers had conquered.
Exactly. And you know what really gripes me, too, is I hear these idiots, you know, arguing back and forth about, oh, well, do we end the Fed, or do we just audit it? Do we just look into it? Do we regulate it? I mean, what are these people smoking?
It has to be totally done away with.
But exactly.
I agree.
If you leave the monetary system intact the way it is today, nothing will change. All the changes that are made will be done away with within one administration.
Right.
It's the banker of the monopoly money. He just keeps printing more of it.
Yep.
Well, that's what they're doing in Europe, and look what that's gotten them. I mean, does this sound familiar? They're spending more than they take in. Hello? And nobody's producing anything. It's nuts.
And, you know, hey, Brian, I was going to say, and you know, there's only one time in the history of the United States of America or the United States, either one, where we had no deficit and no national debt.
Andrew Jackson.
It was at the end of Andrew Jackson's administration, the beginning of whoever took over after Jackson. The only time.
Wow.
There has never been a time that our country was not in debt.
That's something to think about. That is something to really think about. Never been a time that we haven't been in debt. And the problem is, we just increased that debt. and keep increasing that debt. Eventually, somebody has to pay the piper. Unfortunately, it'd be the people.
Right, and I think that it's there's no other way for this to end well. Other than that, it's going to collapse. It's just going to burst. I don't see, like it's doing in Europe. I mean, we've been socialized for how long? It's horrible.
And you just, every day you pick up, you read the news and stuff, and you see they're just another thing somebody's trying to push on somebody. Ideology.
The intrusiveness has just, it's the tentacles just creating catastrophe in our lives, and I'm so tired of it. You know, it's just, and trying to explain this to other people, it's like talking to a brick wall. It's because they can't grasp, like I said, they cannot believe what I'm telling them is true because it's so unconscionable that they can't, you know, they can't get their heads around it. But it, nonetheless, it's right in my face. You know, it's...
Well, that's what makes it such a great plan in their favor, is because it is so incredulous that most people can't believe all there's no way they could be doing that. We'd stop them.
Yeah, right. They're doing it right in front of your face, behind your back, at your side, and nobody's stopping them because nobody knows what's going on. That's kind of my job now, is just to start sounding the alarms and put back. So, on all of it.
Paul Revere's. We've all got to be Paul Revere's and be screaming about what's coming.
What in the hell is that? How did it... that's funny. It doesn't work. I was going to say that link doesn't work. I was trying to put a link in there for the national debt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see why. Because it's a semicolon and a capital P, it automatically thinks it's a smiley face. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a space in there in between the semicolon and the P. And it should. There you go. Now you can copy and paste that link and then just go back to the P, click right in front of the P, and hit backspace, and it'll give you the link. But that is a graph chart of the publicly held federal debt from 1790 to 2009. And you can see that in 1790, it was up about $25 billion. And then we see it started to go down. And around 1810, it started going back up. And then we had a little lull. And then right about 1832, it magically hits zero. And it runs along at near zero until just before 1850. And we get a little bump there in 1850, and then back to zero. And then, what do we have here? 1860, Abraham Lincoln. And what happens? Bang. We're back up to where we started back in 1790.
Dang. Wow.
And we didn't pay off that Civil War debt until right about 1912, 1913. And, oh, my gosh, what happened then?
There we go.
World War One, the Federal Reserve Bank, and we've never looked back.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I keep hitting my head against the wall.
That's not true. We know what the answer is. We just don't know how to get everybody to go there.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
That's the thing. We know the answer. The trouble is this: how do we enforce the solution?
I like that word, enforcer.
Well, you
got to make everybody aware of what's going on and what's been happening.
That in itself
puts us in the quandary, Ron, of how do you save a nation that doesn't know it needs saving?
Or doesn't want to be saved. Because you've got 47%+ of the public out there that is either living on the... Mm-hmm. The American system, the fascism, the wealth redistribution,
right,
or they're getting fabulously wealthy from it.
Sure.
With the government subsidies and kickbacks. I mean, honestly, I think by the time you take all the corporate crap out of the picture and all the welfare, all the corporate welfare and all the individual welfare out of the picture, I'll bet we represent 15% of the population.
Wow.
Yes. If that.
Well, the problem is that I'm seeing, because there's such a vast majority of people who still have their heads in the cranial, you know, and position.
They suffer from cranial rectumitis?
Absolutely. And so my mom laughs when I tell her that. But anyway, no, because they're in denial or in la-la land, you know, do we have enough time to reach that many people? Or do we need that many people?
I think we're out of time. I think we've been out of time. We're just watching the train. Yeah, we're just watching the train wreck, dear.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that's just the truth of it.
At best, we're gonna slow it down to where it's not a total wipeout.
I don't know. The only saving grace, you know, just on the local level, which was the state of Wisconsin, they came to their senses. Even some of the Democrats and some of the union members came to their senses. There's a couple cities here in California. I know we've got small factions here that are trying to wake people up and do the right thing, but, you know, it's like I've got this little tiny surfboard that's in tatters, and I've got a tsunami heading my way. You know, it is the Goliath, you know, syndrome. It's horrible, but I'm still going forward.
Have you gotten to hear my parody songs that I downloaded, Linda?
I know
you heard the Jefferson one.
I think I only heard two of them.
Which ones?
Oh, gosh. They were the ones you did, was it yesterday or the day before? Gosh, I can't remember, because you said it was the day you said.
Oh,
yeah.
I know which ones. Patriots Won't Take It and Mr. Jefferson.
Right.
Well, there's one more that I want you to hear. Before we get back into the conversation, and I know I played it yesterday and you didn't get to hear it, but it's one that'll just, it'll make you smile, but it'll also make you cringe, you know, at the same time. If I can find, there it is. So I'm going to play this right quick. It's only about 3 minutes, but it's good entertainment.
Okay.
Problem is too many red states, she said to me. The country is better off when governed liberally. I'd like to help all you red states become lefties. There must be 50 ways to be a liberal. She said it's really a liberal habit to intrude. Furthermore, the death penalty doesn't work and is so rude. So we'll repeal the right to tote guns, cause they're so crude. There must be 50 ways to be a liberal. 50 ways to be a liberal. Just read the new tax check. Use a carry plan stand. Give condoms to a boy, Roy, and set his mind free. Put voters on the bus, Gus. You don't need to love the truth much. Just hug yourself a tree, Lee, and make Medicare free. Just raise a new tax, Jack. Use a carry plan, Stan. Give condoms to a boy, Roy, and set his mind free. Put voters on the bus, Gus. You don't need to love the troops much. Just hug yourself a tree, Lee, and make Medicare free. She said it grieves me so to see all those red states. I wish there was some way we could lock those southerners behind iron gates. And I said, I appreciate that. And would you please make it safe to marry gays? She said, why don't we both protest the war tonight? And I'm sure in the morning those soldiers will end the fight. And then she kissed me, and I realized she probably was right. There must be 50 ways to be alive. liberal. 50 ways to be a liberal. Just raise a new tax, Jack. Use a carry plan, Sam. Give condoms to a boy, Roy, and set his mind free. Put voters on the bus, Gus. You don't need another truth, man. Just hug yourself a tree, Lee, and make Medicare free. Just raise a new tax, Jack. Use a carry plan, Sam. Give condoms to a boy, Roy, and set his mind free. Put voters on the bus, Gus. You don't need another truth, man. Just hug yourself a tree, Lee, then make Medicare free.
I think that really sums up the attitude.
Yep. Crazy. My head will explode.
God bless Mike Church. He does a great job and has a place where I can download those on his website and distribute them. So I'm doing my part to distribute those. There are many, many, many others.
Oh, my gosh.
The other one that I really want to get into the studio is The Last Train to Brokesville.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're on the road to serfdom. You're right about the train wreck. Oh, my gosh.
I think we're on the road to Soylent Green.
Don't even start. I know. I can't even dig into what Monsanto's doing right now. Oh, God.
Oh, it's terrible.
I know.
But it's just so much of a barrage at once. And I think a lot of it we brought on because we woke up and we took to the streets when we did. And it's like with Agenda 21, they're stepping up their implementations and stuff because they see that we're awakening to it.
They've had a long head start on us. So
I was going to say, I don't think, and at least from what I've read over the years, I don't know that they're stepping it up because we know. I think we know because they're stepping it up. And I think what's actually happened is they're behind schedule.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you're right. Well, in a way, that's kind of to our advantage. I think that, you know, what I'm trying to do and my task force is trying to do, I think that's just one of the best things we can do right now is just go. We've got to go full steam ahead against them and build a bigger steamroller, in my estimation. I mean, I don't know what else to do but just fight back twice as hard.
But that's all we can do. We keep fighting. Yeah. And why do we fight on? We fight on because of our faith. And, you know, faith that we
believe. Well, because
believe
we know
that,
it's right. It's morally right. And what they're doing is morally wrong.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, I know what this looks like at the end of what I call their end game. I don't want to live under that type of tyranny. You know, I don't even like the tyranny we got already. But what they have planned for us is pure hell. And I'm not doing it. I'm not going without a huge fight. No.
I think they're going to find that out, that there will be a lot of people that way. And many of them fight for different reasons, but they will all fight.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, what other choice do they give you?
Yeah, it's craziness. I mean, we have a choice, and as long as I still have a voice and they haven't shut me up completely, I'm going to keep saying it and keep doing it and making my chart.
And I'm going to put another link in there, and the reason I'm putting that link in there is because it's a video of Nigel Farage, and I love that guy.
Cool. Yeah, Nigel's cool. Yeah, I've heard him speak before.
There's many people out there that's speaking up and talking about everything. I mean, you know, against them, against what they're doing, and you'll either get played. They try to play you off as being a total loon, like they've done Ron Paul.
I'm getting called a
conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I'm getting every name in the book, but I've, you know, I had the privilege of not only listening to Lord Munton speak in my neighborhood, but I got to stand and shake his hand. I the parking lot with Dr. Singer, who also understands the IPCC, this climate change nonsense. I got to speak with all these wonderful people. I had the privilege of watching Ron Paul for 40 minutes, at, you know, in my backyard. And I've seen these people. I've seen what they've written. I've gone to people's websites. Tom DeWeese has been studying this for over 15 years to try to expose it, the Agenda 21. I mean, there's YouTube, like I said, with Nancy Pelosi pushing it, trying to push it through Congress. And when I went to the one website talking about when they tried to pull this stuff with the UN before they even got ICLEI involved, the Congress was horrified looking at the death map, and they just rejected it outright. And so then they formed ICLEI and got it through that way. That's what they've been doing for all this evil one.
Well, yeah, they use the EPA, they use ICLEI, they use any means necessary. They'll go around Congress, under Congress, over Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Or even go through Congress because you got so many rhinos that they can get things done.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know something that I think probably 99.999% of Americans missed is that when the Republicans talked about Agenda 21,
mm-hmm.
they always couched it in terms of we should privatize this, that, or the other. Think about that for a minute.
Privatize which portion?
Well, then Bush was talking about privatizing part of Social Security, that we should privatize this, that. I mean,
right.
they always were coming up with something that the Republican answer was to privatize it. Well, knowing what you know about Agenda 21, what the hell were they telling you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because that's exactly what they're doing with Agenda 21, but it's a partnership. It's a quasi-government thing like the Fed.
Yep.
Well, that started to change when they came up with the Security and Prosperity Project, because that was a partnership.
Right.
North American Union is a partnership.
Right. But see, it's all privatized as far as Cintra running all the construction, concessions, and everything on the NASCO corridor, which is the Trans-Texas
mm-hmm.
Corridor I-35. But see, it is the ultimate completion of fascism. Because what
exactly.
they're doing is setting up government oversight onto private corporations.
Well, it's like they've married the two. It's those public-private partnerships that you had talked about. And they're doing it in every aspect. They're doing it with CARB, Sandag, Caltrans, all this here. They're doing it with every single city council all over the United States. This is how they're implementing this stuff that normally could not get through good old D.C.
Yeah, there's no other way to look at it than fascism.
Exactly. And then you've got the entities that are involved. I mean, the Sierra Club, the Wildlands Project, the FDA, the forestry people. I mean, they're Greenpeace. They're all in on this mess, every single one of them. They're like joined at the hip in this stuff.
Oh, sure. And then they're already getting government kickbacks in huge tax breaks and incentives and government funding.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That was one of the things I noticed in the city council meeting, because they're sitting there arguing about, well, if we don't do this, then we won't get any federal money and we won't get this grant money. And, you know, the fact that you shouldn't be doing this in the first place, be damned. You know, where the hell's the common sense? No, they're just looking at dollar signs. I almost threw up. I was just and I couldn't say anything because it wasn't my turn to speak. Oh God, let me tell you.
Well, you know, we see that in other facets too. It's a predatory kind of thing. Used to be when you got a job, you went through the personnel manager's office, and now
right.
they go to a temporary service who gets a cut for getting you a job.
Sure.
So the personnel manager doesn't have to really do his job.
Yeah, what's happening here in California, because there's the unemployment rate's so damn high, I can't even calculate it. It's a lot of these people, not only the seniors, but the kids of the seniors, are starting their businesses under the table. And, you know, they do all cash businesses. And that's the only way to travel at this point. That's what the government is forcing us to do, is to create our own, you know, production, literally, and capital.
Yeah.
Which is the essence of what it was meant to be, pure capitalism, meaning capital equals production, because this is part of your labor. This is God-given rights. And that damn government, they just, oh, I get so angry. Especially in light of what everything you've taught us, Ron, about
it's amazing how someone can tell you it's a God-given right who has never read the Word of God.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that's what he's talking about when you were talking about civil rights, which is a government-issued right, as opposed to the Declaration of Independence and our actual Bill of Rights, which are unalienable and they're not negotiable. And I'll tell you, I'm going to fight to the death for this stuff, because it's just not right what they're doing. And they want to create pure hell for us. There's no other way to look at it.
But as they envision it as a utopia for them.
Well, yeah, of course it is. It was a utopia for the pharaohs, too. But not the poor kids in the straw in the mud. Hello?
And what happened to the pharaohs?
Well, God took care of them, pretty much, at the end.
Uh-huh. The same with all the Caesars of Rome.
Yep.
The same with all of them.
Oh, he'll get them. It's just, I don't want to be on the train track tied to it while they're doing this. I'm, you know, I'm not going to do it lying down. Dang it.
Well, that's where it becomes, like Ron said, it's a moral thing. It's what you feel in your heart. You know what's right. And you feel obligated to do what's right. If we didn't stand up and we didn't speak out, well, we would be just as bad as them. My little saying I always use from the Boondock Saints movie, we must all fear mm-hmm. the evil of bad men, that is true, but we must fear even more the indifference of good men.
Right. Just
and that's
exactly.
What we see, people bury their heads. People turn away. If you try to explain something to them, well, they haven't got time to learn anything because they're too busy. I got to go over here and we're playing cards or something, you know. And until they feel, until they actually see it happening to them, until they actually
right.
see it, and by the time they see it, it's going to be all climbing on them all over at one time, and they're not, you know, they're going to just be overwhelmed with it. We think
sure.
that we get overwhelmed. Imagine how they're going to be not knowing a damn thing, and then all of a sudden, in one day, they wake up and all this is there.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to go, you know, they're going to pull their little heads out of the sand and go, when did this happen? And then the blood will really shoot out of my eyes. Well, you had your head in your backside, you fool. That's when. Oy.
I was like, okay, I'm going to get off on Eric Holder.
Uh-oh, go ahead.
He should have resigned. He should have took the easy way out. But if he doesn't want
to be forced into, yeah.
Well, if he doesn't, no, it's past that now. I believe it's past that. I don't want to see him get no slap on the wrist. I want this man in jail for all the things he has done. It isn't just Fast and Furious. It isn't just trying to railroad around. I mean, oh, let him pick who's going to investigate if Obama's leaking information. That's just.
Yes. Yeah.
No way in hell,
laughable.
Eric Holder. He, as Cornyn said today, he has showed that he is not a man of reputation, other than he's devout at dodging things. He is openly a racist. He's proven that. I mean, he's been openly a racist. And he's been openly against enforcing laws, but yet he will try to mandate laws to states like Florida, Arizona,
yep.
Georgia, Indiana, and wherever. I am surprised that they haven't took Alabama to court for the thing they put in against Agenda 21.
Oh, don't give them any ideas.
Give them time.
Yeah.
Well, now,
yeah.
You know, there's a problem with the whole Rio conference and Agenda 21. It seems that the people that's on the part of the UN that oversees this are not immune from prosecution. And now they're trying to figure out how they can make them immune from prosecution.
Rotters. Yeah, it's horrible. Well, I think it was John Cornyn from Texas, a senator.
He grilled him.
Yeah, he absolutely wants him to resign. He says there's no reason why he hasn't resigned already. So they may force him to. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But unfortunately, he'll just go to the Center for American Progress, you know, and that'll be the end of it. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Obama pardoning.
Well, whatever. Yeah, they're not going to give these guys jail time unless, you know, we have some sort of miracle and a tribulation and they all get their due.
Perhaps if you could put off actually charging him until after the election and hope that Romney would win or somebody would win, Paul Romney, anybody but Obama, somebody would win and we'd take over the Senate and we'd have the power, and more in the Congress, and we'd have the power to then prosecute him and jail him.
I'd love to see it happen. I think everybody, I mean, there's just so many of them, Bill.
Holder wants the socialist utopia.
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, there is no pure form of socialism.
Well, you know,
than
I think there's, we, yeah,
and
we
I,
have,
I want
we have,
him to have it.
Yeah, we have plenty of room for these guys because Michael Magic said that Grayling, Michigan's huge. And it's already got the barbed wire up.
Well, we've got some pretty big places here in Indiana, too, that's already ready. Crown Point, I happened to go visit Crown Point a few years back. Well, that was probably about 2007.
Mm-hmm.
5 layers of fencing, all of it to keep people in.
Oh, yeah. It's sickening. I know.
Huge new gas furnaces, I will say. They're the biggest damn furnaces I ever seen, but, and, you know, I'm...
Oh, my God.
I'm out of foundries, so I've seen some pretty big furnaces.
Oh,
and,
my God.
It even has a playground inside it. It has turnstiles. And
it's sickening.
It looks like a prison.
Well, of course it is. What do you expect?
There's supposedly nothing going on there right now, but yet all this stuff's been done there.
Of course. It's all over the country, Bill. I'm sure that they've got their plans, you know. So we just have to just keep doing what we're doing and trying to wake people up. And Ron had an idea earlier about going to our state capital and just demanding that the state of whatever you're in, that don't send your reps anymore, don't send anybody, and just stop it. Like a mini secession. Say, we're not doing this. But that's a tall order, but we can try.
Well, Indiana has a law, you know, that if the cop is doing something wrong, you could shoot him.
Wow. Yeah, there was that news story in Texas. The guy beat the guy to death that was molesting the 4-year-old, or trying to, and no charges have been brought against him yet. Wow. That
or
was,
should there
mean,
be?
I know.
Even if he did, there ain't a jury that would convict him.
Nope.
Not in Texas.
Unless it was a jury of pedophiles. Good luck finding one of those.
Yeah. I got to say this. People may call me cruel or whatever. I don't give a damn. If someone did that one of my granddaughters, I could kill that man. And I would sit and smile for the rest of my life behind bars because I would know that SOB ain't never going to touch another little girl the rest of his life.
Yeah, the problem is you only got one of them and there's so damn many of them out there. But at least you got that.
Maybe it would start a trend. But I'm just saying, there's no way you're going to get a conviction on that guy.
Oh, that's
true. No. People have had it with this namby-pamby nanny
state. But now let's be real. Knowing our bright asses that we got up here in D.C., somebody's going to suggest hate crimes against pedophiles.
Don't give him any ideas.
Oh, no, trust me. NAMBLA.
I guarantee you.
NAMBLA pushes for that all the time.
Oh, they're so perverted. Well, they've made their choice, so, like I said, whatever God wants to do, it's his call.
Well,
I think Jerry Sandusky is a life member.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. That is so horrible. Oh, Have they got through that trial yet? Yeah, very sick. Are they still in the middle of that trial?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's pretty horrendous what goes down. You know, we've been dealing with, you know, man's inhumanity to man since Adam and Eve, so we're just...
Well, at least since Cain and Abel, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I like the little kid's idea. He writes the letter to God and says, you should have given them separate rooms. It works for me and my brother.
Brian put in the chat room, HR resolution, protect a pedophile, 2012.
Oh,
hell, they
God.
Don't protect them, Brian. They hire them for TSA and Child Protective Services.
Of course. That's right. And HHS and all the rest of it. DHS. Oh, my God. Time to push back hard.
But, hey, yeah. Look at the bright side. When they open the internment camps, they'll have free daycare.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
Napolitano and DHS just kills me. They do everything they're not supposed to do and don't do nothing that they should do.
Precisely. I know.
That's government.
Absolutely.
I saw a picture of her marrying Barney Frank.
I thought Barney was gay.
Well, Barney was in the dress, and she was dressed like the man.
That works.
I don't know who photoshopped it or what, but it was kind of after everybody had a little lap out of it, I guess. I doubt if Barney would have touched her if he was straight.
Yeah.
Well, they're both gay, so maybe they'd have something in common, you know.
I don't know.
We just don't know who's pitching and who's catching in that deal.
I don't want to know.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Man, I'll tell you. You know, it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
And then you have this Obama appointee that wipes out a couple cars and stuff. He had a seizure. Now he's on medicine. You mean to tell me this man never knew he was having seizures before, and all out of the blue, all of a sudden his first seizure, he's however old he is. I say
he pulled a Kennedy and he's on antabuse.
Oh, Lord. Oh, man.
Oh, Lordy.
One of the oldest politicians in the country today has been a Democrat for 60 years or more. Has now turned to Republican from Florida. Can't remember the guy's name, and I don't want to mess it up. But kudos to him. He awoke. 91 years old.
Wow. There was another guy. It was a black guy. I think it was on Fox yesterday that switched, too. And he actually supported Obama back in 2007 and 2008.
Well, and I think that probably just speaks more towards the fact that the Republican Party represents more of what the Democrat Party represented 20 years ago than the Democrats do today. So that's really not a whole lot of solace there.
What they're really not telling you, and the media really would like to keep it quiet if they could, is that Obama's little support of the gay thing hurt him bad in many, many black churches.
Oh, you betcha it did.
Yep. I'm glad, too.
You're seeing union members switching and supporting, switching against Obama. And I think the more union members that see that their brothers are not afraid to do it will do it, too.
Yep. Exactly like what happened in Wisconsin. The other governors who have some sort of a conservative ideology will also follow suit and try to do the same thing. That's a good thing. All we can do is keep trying, Bill. Praying and trying.
That's it. I think Ms. Daniel was right. The Wisconsin deal is going to be a hard blow to the public sector unions.
Yeah, and it's also a hard blow. It's kind of a difficult blow for Obama in general, because you know his Marxist Keynesian nonsense isn't playing well anymore.
I got to be honest. I was reading today all the things that's just going wrong for Obama, and it put a little smile on my face, you know, a little tick at the end of my mouth there upward, because it's like, you know, Something my great-grandmother always told me when I was a little kid, and my mother always told me, and I thought, these people are nuts. And that is, whatever you do in life, good or bad, will come back to haunt or bless you. And Obama's getting haunted.
Yeah, he is. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but he's still going to leave the White House a multimillionaire, you know.
Well, yeah, he's worth, what, 10 or 11 million right
now? And that SOB's never held a job in his life.
No,
that's
including
what
this one.
Me. That's what kills me.
Yeah, and he has the unmitigated gall to, you know, go after capitalism and people like Romney. I don't know how much Romney's worth, but nobody brings up the fact that Obama's got lots of money.
Yeah,
and
but God, if only we had capitalism in this country.
Well, I know, but I mean, yeah,
but,
you know what
yeah,
I mean.
Well, it's like Rand Paul asking once, is it only the wealthy that don't support you that you hate?
Yep.
Yeah, it's
because
crazy.
You don't ever hear him go after Buffett or Gates or Soros or Kerry or Feinstein.
Nope. Or Pelosi with all her whatever she's got from her vineyards.
Yep. Oh, please. that and all her investments with Teaspoon Pickens.
Yeah. I wonder how much she spent on in Big Pharma on her Botox injections over the years. Oh,
that's probably free for her, you know.
Yeah.
Took pity on her. I don't know.
Oh, no. They get kickbacks from their contributors.
Yeah. She, you know, she's also got a chunk invested in one of the fruit companies and one of the tuna companies.
Del Monte Dole, isn't it? And,
yes,
and Dole. Starkist.
I can't remember, gosh.
Dole and Starkist.
Really? Yep, and that's because of her district is part of American Samoa. And
which,
that was one of the things. Yeah, didn't get a minimum wage increase, did they?
Exactly, Ron. You know where I was headed.
Yep.
The only ones.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, the thing is that the liberal people, the liberal-minded young people that are out there, the folks
mm-hmm.
that are working on minimum wage, they don't get it. A minimum
no.
wage increase is a tax.
Well, they're going to lose their jobs because a lot of places they just lay them off.
But it's a tax. It's a tax because what that does is, number one, it makes those products and service sector that they're in, the prices necessarily go up. Number
right.
one, to offset the difference in what they have to pay in compensation. And the other side of that is that it moves them up in the tax bracket, so they end up with a little bit more money taken out of their paycheck. So they're getting double whammied. But
right.
all they see is on payday, they've got an extra $35 in their check.
But what here in California, because I used to work in the restaurant industry, and whenever minimum wage went up, they laid people off left and right, or they
sure.
cut hours because they can't do it. They cannot continue, especially with the inflation and that's why when I go to a restaurant right now, everything's so expensive, no matter where you go, because the cost of food, whether it's wholesale or retail, is through the roof, and people don't realize that.
I stopped this morning to get a pint of milk at the little gas station
mm-hmm.
quick place up here.
Right.
And they didn't have a pint. They had half gallons and gallons. So I got a half gallon. I almost passed out when they told me it was $4.17 for
sure.
a freaking half gallon of milk.
Holy
yeah,
crap.
When I go in, I mean, well, hamburger is more expensive than our gasoline. It's like over $5 a pound for whatever, and then it's $4.20 a gallon for gas for the cheapest one. It's unbelievable what's going on. And every time I go to the market, I go, oh, geez, what do I buy this week? You know, how do
okay,
I
Rana,
avoid?
Okay, Ron and Linda, I just grabbed the local grocery thing. Kroger brand half gallon of milk, 10 for $10.
Wow.
Yeah.
You buy 10 half gallons for $10.
That now, understand, though, that's at the Kroger. What I was getting was at the Quick little
yeah.
quickie mart, but it's also wow. one of our big local dairies, which is Mayfield. And Mayfield,
wow.
even when you go to Kroger, you know, you can get the cheapy milk for about $1.92 a gallon, but the Mayfield stuff is about $4 a gallon.
Now, I don't know if you have a Huck's, which is a mini mart, but it's like a 7-Eleven, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's $1.50 a gallon.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we ain't got a lot of places around, so, you know. But that's just one thing. Ground chuck, $2.68 a pound, Linda.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I'm paying, you know, $5 a pound. So what I've got to start doing is just actually go to one of the places where I can get one of those little small meat grinders and just buy the stuff and cut it up and do it myself, especially when it's on sale.
Yeah, you can get ground chuck and trim it and grind your own, or just not ground chuck, but chuck roast.
Yeah, just buy it like a chuck steak or a roast and do it. Yeah, because I've got the knives and everything to do it with. I know how to do it.
I don't know what it costs at the meat locker, because I get all my meat from the meat locker. I either do it myself or I get it from the meat locker. I don't go to the store and get it because I don't know what they got in it.
Yeah, I know.
You got that right. You know, when we lived in Colorado, we had some friends down the road from us out in the country, and they raised hogs and cattle, and I would go down there, and I could buy a whole hog, and they would butcher it for me however I wanted it, and I think we paid $150, $200.
Right.
And, man, I miss that, because you'd have fresh ham steak in the morning, ham steak and egg.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Oh yeah. I can buy the hog for $40, a 200-pound hog, 300-pound hog, $40. But then I have to skin it and process it myself. And a lot of us around here do things like that. We used to do it as a family. You know, we'll get a couple of hogs, and we'll go butcher or go kill them, and we'll have all the stuff set up, and we'll process it all there, make our own sausage and everything.
Oh, that's the best. Oh, homemade sausage. Oh, love it.
And we don't use all the filler that the stores use.
Exactly, and it tastes amazingly good. I know. And
like Rob said, a ham steak.
We used to make get a pork shoulder, and then we'd bone it out, and we had a grinder. This was a few years back, and you put to make homemade fresh Polish kielbasa. It's the best. Oh my God, it's so yummy.
Now, I'm lucky. I've got a place over here called Patak Meats, and it's a bohemian meat market. They do all their own. They make it right there, all their own sausage and everything.
Wow.
I mean, the place, I'm like a kid in a candy store when I go in that place. They can process, I think it was 20,000 pounds of meat a day.
Good grief.
Okay. You know, they have a huge, that's how much they can smoke in a day. That's... Their smoker is that big.
That's
amazing.
And, you know, I like liverwurst. A lot of people don't like liverwurst.
I love liverwurst.
Bill, they have smoked liverwurst.
Oh, my God.
And, brother, I'm here to tell you that is the best thing you've ever put on a cracker in your entire life.
We have a German meat market, but they don't have a smoked liverwurst.
Wow.
They sell it in a tube that's probably, well, you can get a half or a full. If you get a full tube, it's like $5.99. It's a little bit bigger around than a silver dollar, and it's probably a foot and a half long.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm telling you, you know, one of the guys that used to work with me, Mike, he lives over by there, and he would stop and get some, and I'd pay him half the money. I mean, half of $6 wasn't a big deal. But, man, you can't eat much of that stuff. It's so rich.
Wow.
After about, you know, one little plate with some Ritz crackers, you're just, you know, dying for a glass of milk and a nap.
Or an ice cold beer and a nap.
Absolutely. But, man, they had like 15 different kinds of ham.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I didn't know there were that many kinds of ham. You know?
Me neither. Wow, that's amazing.
And I went in that place, you know, thinking I'm going to spend a couple $100 and I'm just going to come home with, you know, half the farm. And I went crazy. I was like, I want 5 of those and 8 of those and 2 pounds of that and 3 pounds of that, pound and a half of that. I get up to the register and it was $48. I'm like, you're freaking kidding me. I didn't even break $50 yet. And I said, I was trying to spend $100. And the lady's like, well, do you like cheese? I said, oh, yeah. Well, we got all these they make their own cheese. And so I got, you know, a pound of Havarti and a pound of the jalapeno Havarti. And mm-hmm. still I got out of there for like $53. It was sick.
That's amazing. Oh, my God. How fun. Mm. Well, you guys, I'm looking forward to that trip in Indiana. I'm just so excited. I can hardly wait.
That's two of us.
I'm telling you, I'm ready. We've been working tearing down. I had a trailer behind my house, and we've been working on tearing it down, just me and the wife and daughter and a son-in-law, and it's about got me wore out. I'm ready for a break.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So I know Yola said she's making food the first day. What do we got for the second one?
That's when we're having the roast.
Oh, good.
I never could find a hog roaster, but I can cut a hog up into pieces and we can cook it on grill.
Oh, yeah. Now, what kind of side dishes do we need?
Beans and beer?
I really have no idea because, you know, people from different parts probably have different tastes. Now, I was going to get some fresh corn on the cob.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever else my buddy's got growing out there on his produce farm, probably some melons, cantaloupe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And
man.
Like I said, we can sit down the first night and decide, hey, we're eating Yo and Nick's spaghetti and meatballs.
Bill,
and decide,
I haven't had an Indiana cantaloupe, and I can't tell you how long.
Well, you're going to enjoy it.
I wouldn't know the difference, yeah. So.
Oh, my goodness. They're huge. They're damn near the size of basketballs.
Wow.
And they're really good.
I live in what is known as the melon capital of the world.
Wow.
Watermelons and cantaloupes. And you get down in just a little bit further north from where we'll be at, a few miles, you come down off the hills into the valley, and all you see is cantaloupe and watermelon fields.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's amazing. So I was thinking if there's a store real close to where on the travels to get me from point A to the cabin, then I'll just pick up enough to make the garlic bread and a couple bottles of wine or whatever and, you know, and maybe some salad stuff for the first day.
You better be careful, Linda. They might only have, like, Boone's Farm up there.
Oh, no.
I'm teasing.
Actually, we, in the last, I don't know how many years, we've had wineries spring up around here. And we have people have these, they have these wine festivals and things like that.
Cool.
So
we're going to figure it out.
A halfway decent wine.
Yeah, that's something that I've just never been able to get into is the wine. I've got a good friend of mine. He probably drinks two bottles of Yellowtail a day.
Yeah.
My son-in-law's got two or three different kinds of wine right now fermenting or whatever, brewing right now.
Wow.
And
The stuff the kids like here is either Markham or Rodney Strong or La Crema. That's what they like.
Yeah, about the only wine I can drink as far as a red wine is Reedy Uniti Lambrusco.
Yeah, I could drink that.
I'm
like Ron. I'm not much of a wine drinker. I've actually had six beers this year.
Oh, my God.
And
I can't make that.
I had five of them this weekend.
I was going to say, I can't make that claim.
I had five of them this weekend. But I have my moments. And my wife and I are mainly, though, when we did drink all the time, we were whiskey drinkers.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. I've drank enough Jim Beam to float a battleship or two.
I think I should have a big investment in them.
You guys should have bought stock.
They should have gave me stock as much as I bought.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like that old joke about the guy that, you know, was drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. And his wife told him, you know, you're not going to drink him out of beer. He kept drinking and drinking, and one night she got mad and she got him in the car and drove him out to the Budweiser plant, and they're on the little hill overlooking the plant, and she says, there, see that? What do you have to say for yourself now? He says, well, at least I got him working nights.
And, you know, I'm not that far from Kentucky where there's a lot of breweries.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I like my beer, and I'm not real big on, like, you know, the standard fare, Bud and Bud Light and all that stuff. I like the home stuff, the more local or micro-brewed stuff.
Yeah, those are good. Yeah, micro-brewed.
I'm a beer snob.
My buddy says he's a beer drinker, and if you ask him what his favorite beer is, he'll tell you Cold.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way my grandfather was with pie. He said there's only two kinds of pie he liked, hot or cold.
You made me think of that dang thing I've seen on Facebook, Ron. There's only two kinds of people in the world, or three kinds of people in the world, those who are good at math and those who aren't.
Yep, that's pretty good. Well, guys, I think my household just arrived.
Well,
thank you for filling in, Ron.
Not a problem,
Linda.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I didn't
all of
realize
you guys.
What I was losing time out there, but I was in the throes of work.
Well, you know, that's a good thing to be in.
Can I get my mind off everything else? And as you both know, that's a hard thing to do with everything going on.
It is. That's one of the bad things about my job. I have a lot of time to sit and contemplate things all day long.
Uh-oh. All right, guys, I'm going to go back to the chat room, and thank you so much for filling in, Ron and Bill. It was great to hear you, too. So God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow for my show.
No problem.
God bless, Linda.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
God bless, Ron.
All right. God bless you, too, Bill. Bye-bye. All right, folks, and I think I'm going to wrap it up for the evening for this episode of Patriot Families Chat. And in keeping with my theme, I think we'll send us out with a song. And let's see if I can find one that sparks my fancy to send us off with here. You know, I haven't played this one in a long time. And I really, really like this song.
God bless you guys. Have a good night. We'll see y'all tomorrow.